Let's notice Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. Well, what has happened to honesty is the best policy. Remember hearing our parents teach us that as children? Well, not only is honesty the best policy, but it is God's policy. In fact, it's God's will. And so we must not be involved in cheating in school. Well, April the 15th is fast approaching. Hopefully everybody has got their income tax returns finished and sent in. But how many cheat on their tax returns? How many are using computer programs illegally? And how many people are lying to those in authority, bearing false witness? And how many false teachers are in the church today? Well, we would appreciate if they would wear a sign saying, "I'm a false teacher." Oh, for an honest false teacher. But that's not likely to happen, is it? Well, of course not. So our study this morning, I want us to all, myself included, to answer three questions honestly, of course, since that's our study. Yes, honesty is God's policy. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Is that what we're doing? We certainly better be. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes studying God's precious Word. And then, as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, and you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Now, something else we want to mention, that we're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are always appreciated. Yes, and Bible studies is something we look forward to. If you would be interested in doing just that, please let us know, and at your convenience, we'll set that up. Now, we want to mention this also. Again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. Honesty is God's policy. And let's all answer honestly three questions. And we'll start now with number one. And this is a good place to start, as we're going to ask ourselves, am I honest with myself? God's Word warns us not to deceive ourselves. Well, in Romans 1:21, becoming vain in their thoughts, many insisted on having their own way, but it was without God's wisdom. And when you go without God's wisdom, you cannot be wise. You may be worldly wise, but that's not being wise in accordance to the will of God, is it? Well, of course not. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. This is what we're talking about. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, realize without the Word of God, we're not going to know the truth, and we certainly can't be wise in accordance to the will of God. So let's always remember that we can deceive ourselves and think that we're wise, but we need to humble ourselves and learn the Word of God and abide by it, obey it, submitting to the gospel of Christ. Now in Galatians 6:3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." See, this is going to come up several times in the Word of God, that we can deceive our own selves. 2 Corinthians 10:18, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." So we may commend ourselves. Others may commend us, in fact. But if we're not approved by the Lord, then we've failed and we're deceiving ourselves. Remember what Jesus said in John 15:5, "For without me you can do nothing." If we're not attached to the true vine, we can bear no fruit to the glory of God. And without Christ, we can do nothing. But through Christ, we can do all things which strengtheneth us. Of course, in Philippians 4:13. Now let's note James 1:22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only," here it comes, "deceiving your own selves." There again, this is the point we're wanting to see here. We can deceive our own selves. So again, we ask the question, am I honest with myself? In James 1:26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." So, yes, we can practice vain religion, but we want to be sure we're practicing true religion in accordance to the Word of God. In First John chapter 1, verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So this is coming up a number of times, isn't it? That one can deceive oneself. And we don't want to be doing that. So we need to answer the question, am I honest with myself? Now, what kind of thoughts do I have? Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." I better know what kind of person I am, and I can, by my thoughts. Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." So our heart includes our intellect, our mind, and of course our emotions. But what kind of thoughts are we having in our mind? Yes, we don't want to be involved in the evil thoughts that Jesus was bringing forth here in verse 19 of Matthew 15. So we want to have proper thoughts, do we not? Well, notice Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," "whatsoever things are honest," that's our subject, isn't it? "Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's right. That's where our thoughts need to be. So we need to examine ourselves and prove ourselves. How? By the Word of God. Of course, 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" So that's what the Word of God is instructing us to do, commanding us to examine ourselves and prove our own selves. And it must be done with the Word of God. Now let's notice Matthew 18:3 and 4, because Jesus certainly wanted the little children to come unto him, and he could point to a child, for example, and say, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So we must not allow pride to prevent us from being honest with ourselves. So let's be sure we're answering that question honestly. Am I honest with myself? But let's go on. Question number two. Am I honest with my fellow man? Of course, I need to start with being honest with myself. Now, we can go to number two. Am I honest with my fellow man? Dishonesty has affected us all directly and indirectly. We've no doubt all have been cheated. We've been lied to, and we've been lied about, some of us. We've seen injustices in our local, state, and federal governments and in our courts. Yes, we have. But are we involved in this sin of cheating people, lying to someone? Lying to ourselves is not good either, is it? So what happens when we're not honest with our fellow man? Well, first, we're sinning against God. That's number one. Number two, we're harming our fellow man. Yes, of course. And third, we're hurting ourselves, our reputation, our influence, our character, our good name. Of course, that's being hurt. In Romans 12, verse 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Revenge is evil. Getting back at someone is getting on their level. And we're not to do that. We're to overcome evil with what? With good. That's God's way, not man's way. So we need to provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's what the scriptures are commanding us. Now let's notice the examples from God's word where dishonesty is going to affect a lot of folks. And we start with Satan, because he was the father of lies. John 8:44, in the Garden of Eden, chapter 3 of Genesis 3 and 4. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die," Eve said. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Now from that one lie that Satan told, Eve succumbed to the temptation. Adam gave in and sinned also. They lost paradise. Suffering and evil came into the world at that time. Yes, it started with a lie. That affects quite a few people, does it not? Well, of course. What about Potiphar's wife? She told a lie, and Joseph was thrown into prison. And this is Genesis 39:18-20. "And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison." Because of a lie, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, but he would not betray his master. Potiphar was good to him, and of course he was brought up in a proper way not to allow such seduction to affect him anyway. But the point is, she told a lie in order to get revenge because he scorned her. She felt scorned, by him not giving in. And so her passion turned to hate and revenge. And she lied. And the result was Joseph being thrown into prison. Of course, God's providence brought him out, as we know. But notice this example. As we go to Matthew 26:59, and we talked about this last Lord's Day, as lying was one of the sins which was involved in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. Notice Matthew 26:59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. So Jesus, our Savior, God in the flesh, who lived without sin, yet because of the dishonesty of others, was put to death on the cross. Now we need to appreciate, though, that this was the will of God, not that they would lie, not that they would reject Jesus, but that he would go to the cross for our sins as the Lamb of God was the ultimate sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice that would ever be given, because it's God in the flesh, living perfectly, being able to die for the sins of mankind. And not only was Jesus crucified because of the dishonesty of the Jewish leaders, but because it was the only means for our salvation from our sins. 1 Peter 2:21 through 24, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Yes, that goes back to Isaiah chapter 53, doesn't it? But let's notice now 1 Timothy chapter 4, because we're looking at examples how lying, being dishonest, affects so many people. And again, we're asking ourselves the question, am I honest with my fellow man? All of us need to examine ourselves. But note this example. Again, this is 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively," that is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith," that's right, the faith, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," here it comes, "speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now, here's the identifying marks of this departure: forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Excuse me. So the Holy Spirit spoke expressively that this departure from the faith, from the true church, is going to happen in the latter times. Not at the time this was written by the Apostle Paul, but this is going to happen later on as time goes forth. And here's how you can know this terrible departure from the true church. They're going to forbid to be married by some, like the priest, as we know in the Catholic Church, the nuns, they're forbidden to marry. And abstaining from meats. When you have to eat fish on Friday and you can't eat the other meats that God has sanctioned, well, you see, that's showing us the Holy Spirit was right on target with what would happen a departure from the true church. But you see here what's involved, speaking lies in hypocrisy. They're not telling the truth. That's so sad that so many have been affected by this departure. Well, as we know in Ephesians 4:4, there's only one faith. But you see so many different faiths, but with God, there is only one. Let's stay with the truth. Now, let's go on to our third question. As we're wanting to answer these three vitally important questions, being honest as we answer, we started out with, am I honest with myself? That's where we need to start. And then, am I honest with my fellow man? Well, we all should be. We shouldn't be cheating one another and lying and so forth. But now here's the third very important question. Am I honest with God? We cannot deceive God, nor can we hide from God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. It's going to turn out like God said it would, no matter what man thinks. So be not deceived. Now some believe that God will overlook some sins. As Paul wrote to the church at Rome, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, God's not going to overlook any sins, of course not. And we must be willing to confess our sins to God. Notice 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, beginning, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must be willing to confess our sins before God. To be honest with God, we must receive God's word with an open mind and obey it. James 1:21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That implanted word, we're begotten with the word of truth, verse 18 of James chapter 1. We must receive the word of God into our hearts and submit to it, obey it. So we ask ourselves, what kind of heart do we have? Luke 8:15, but that on the good ground are they which in an, here it is, in an honest heart. Well, I'm sorry, in an honest and good heart. Let's put both together. In an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Do we have an honest and good heart? Well, if we do not, we better be working on doing just that so we can receive the truth and submit to the will of God. Now we need to mention this. Handling the word of God deceitfully is dishonest. Of course it is. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Are we adhering to the word of God? Are we listening to ear ticklers, those who handle the word of God deceitfully? We need to examine ourselves, yes, and be sure we're being honest with God. Let us never forget, since it is impossible for God to lie, Hebrews 6:18, He certainly will keep all His promises. We know that. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We can trust God. God cannot lie. Man's going to lie. Yes, and no doubt we've all done that ourselves, but it's impossible for God to lie. Now, let's never forget that. And as we've studied this morning, not only is honesty the best policy, but as we want to keep in our thoughts, it is God's policy. So, did I answer these three questions honestly? Am I honest with myself? Am I honest with my fellow man? And I must be honest with God. So that third question, let's be sure we can honestly say, yes, I'm honest with God. We want to be able to say that. Now, if I have not been honest with myself, how then can I be honest with my fellow man? And most importantly, how can I be honest with God? That's not going to work, is it? Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, all, and notice, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's the fires of hell. That's eternal damnation. We don't want to be in hell for eternity. Of course not. But what are we doing now with our lives? Are we honest before God, submitting to His will, striving to treat our fellow man honestly, and certainly being honest with ourselves? We've got to start there. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you by studying further, to be sure that we understand what the Scriptures teach. What must I do to become a child of God? I have to hear the truth. That's how my faith comes, Romans 10:17. Then I'm ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. Once we believe that Jesus is the Christ who died for our sins, we're motivated to repent, to make a change of wills. Now we're going to do God's will, not our will. Luke 13:3-5. Having repented and made a change of wills, now I'm ready to make the good confession, stating before others, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And certainly that is before salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Once I've made the good confession, now I'm ready to be immersed into a watery grave. I'm buried into the death of Christ, as we see in Romans 6:3-6. I'm contacting His precious blood that washes away my sins, Acts 22:16. I'm coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds me to His body, the true church, where I need to remain faithful even unto death. And we thank you so much for listening today.